King, you have summoned me. What is it?
Take this here vibranium to the brother Miles as a gift from the people of Wakanda. Go and bring him the vibranium mic. He will use it wisely.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's absolutely nothing. What did you do before you were named a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have there? Ask Professor Maurice Miles Martinez, MC Brother Miles, and he'll tell you like it really is. You can shackle the hands of black people, you can jail the bodies of black people, but you cannot shackle or jail the minds of black people. Rise up, black man, black woman, and reach to go back to Africa.
My father was a Garveyite, thus Marcus Garvey can be thought of as my grandfather. But when you say, I've read in Dr. Ben's book, or I've read in Dr. Ivan Van Sertima's book, or I've read in Professor Maurice Miles Martinez's book, they say, don't speak that information in here. Brothers and sisters, speak your truth to the world.
Brother Miles, the black man's truth is here.
The real Wakandas of Africa podcast.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political, economic, and cultural time of day. Brother Miles, the relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Free at last and proud to be black. One day Miles will be free at last.
Hey, Brother Miles, that was really great, man. I'm impressed.
Welcome to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast, the place where black history, hip-hop, and spoken word come together. I'm your host, Maurice Miles Martinez, also known as MC Brother Miles. At the end of each podcast, we have an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself. Check out last week's podcast where we discussed Theodore Roosevelt and what he learned from Africans. Now this week, I'm going to deal with a couple of different evolutionary theories about humans, as well as Homo naledi, and what we've learned recently, which is a new species from southern Africa, which emerged about 300,000 years ago. And Homo naledi is thought to predate modern humans by 100,000 years, but also is not necessarily an ancestor of modern humans. In fact, Homo naledi actually emerges between 335,000 and 236,000 years ago in South Africa. And as we know, maybe not necessarily in South Africa, but there is modern human activity uncovered in Ethiopia and Morocco dating back almost as old 300,000 years as Homo naledi. Now, in South Africa, we do have human activity also overlapping that of Homo naledi. So the challenge is that when you look at the evolutionary development of humans and brain sizes typically increase over time. Now, what also distinguishes modern humans from others is the number of folds or wrinkles on the brain. Brain size alone doesn't indicate that one species is more intelligent than another. For example, Neanderthals had brains upwards of 1,500 cubic centimeters, and modern humans, us, we have a brain size of between 1,270 to 1,330 cubic centimeters, with some citing as high as 1,400 cubic centimeters for modern humans. So our brains are about 100 cubic centimeters at least smaller than those of Neanderthals. But we are more intelligent than Neanderthals. Modern humans are more intelligent than Neanderthals. So it is not just about brain size, but also about the wrinkles on the brain that determine how intelligent a given being was in this lineage. Unfortunately, when Neanderthals are brought up, we get into another discussion, which I will explain here. And that is that Neanderthals were primarily found in Europe, and Neanderthal DNA was found in modern Europeans at the rate of 1 to 2% of their DNA. And this is used to underpin a dual origin of the races. However, I don't know why you would want to brag about having Neanderthal DNA, because Neanderthals were less intelligent than modern humans, but likely there is some evidence that they may have mixed with the European population, and this speaks to two theories about where humans originated. We have the out of Africa theory, where humans had one line coming out of Africa some 50,000 to 60,000 years ago and moving to Asia and eventually Europe. This line replaced each successive line of people. And then we have the multi-regional hypothesis, the multi-regional evolution, MRE, which is also called a polycentric hypothesis, says that there was mixing between species like Neanderthals and modern humans, but it kind of goes an extra step. So if there was mixing, fine, but why do we need a separate hypothesis that says humans somehow evolved separately? And let me explain the difficulty with this idea. The problem is that this hypothesis speaks to the older polygenism. And this was a theory of human origins which posited the view that human races came from different origins. And it's typically argued for by white supremacists to show a separate origin of the white race. Now, this theory was debunked, but along came the multi-regional evolution hypothesis, which, even if true, can be argued to be a rehash of polygenesis, because you are saying that humans split off from the original source, evolved separately, and mixed with other beings, and thus genetically we have a European that shares DNA with the Neanderthal, and the African does not share his DNA with the Neanderthal. Now, it is true that we do have modern Europeans and Asians that share some DNA with Neanderthals, and that the African does not share his DNA with the Neanderthal. And this, unfortunately, leads the average person taking this, and I've heard this in average discussions, and people say things like, quote, "That's why certain Europeans are bigger, stronger, and have thicker cranial capacity." In other words, they have a Neanderthal brow line, end quote. But you never hear anyone saying the same thing about the Neanderthal's intelligence, because this would imply that if you had the intelligence of a Neanderthal, that you were less intelligent. So why would they be making this argument? The multi-regional theory may have occurred in terms of mixing. It is used in popular discourse to advocate for Europeans having an advantage, having a strength, having a feature, having DNA that others do not have, and thus it is used to imply the same thing that polygenesis implied, even if the founders of the multi-regional evolution hypothesis, who are Wolpoff, Thorne, and Wu, deny racial superiority. And they've acknowledged even that this confusion between their theory and the older white supremacist polygenesis theory exists. Now, Wolpoff credits Weidenreich for impacting his multi-regional hypothesis, and Weidenreich was an advocate of Piltdown Man, who was a composite between two unrelated species. Piltdown Man was a hoax. Weidenreich pioneered the polycentric multi-regional hypothesis, which argued that human populations came from old world Homo erectus, but evolved separately into Homo sapiens sapiens, while at the same time sharing genes that passed between some of the populations. In other words, Europeans and those who were close to Europe in certain parts of Asia share genes by passing them back and forth over generations, but Africans did not pass them back and forth. So in other words, in this multi-regional theory, everybody came out of Africa, but races evolved separately. And of course, when you get to Wolpoff and his point here, modern humans in Europe evolved separately from a Neanderthal that was different from other ancestors and ancestors of modern humans in Africa. Said differently, if you create a theory that one branch of modern humans is genetically different from another branch, even if backed by evidence, what is your purpose? Even if your purpose is genuine, how are you going to deal with the implication that Europeans are genetically different, that people focus upon the superior aspects, strength that a big Neanderthal had, and the brow line, and others in popular discussions, and then they ignore the fact that Neanderthal was less intelligent than modern humans. In other words, you're creating a theory underpinned by modern conceptions of race as well as historical conceptions of race that speaks to the racial superiority or white supremacist ideas in history. So, coming back to Homo naledi and brain sizes can say something about total capacity. And you may be wondering, where did Lucy, also known as Dinkanesh, as you know, fall on the spectrum? Or where do other Australopithecines or other ancestors of modern man come and fall on this spectrum? As far as brain sizes go, the cranial capacity of Lucy, whom we know as Dinkanesh, ranged between 375 to 500 cubic centimeters. Likewise, Homo habilis, who could make Oldowan tools, had a cranial capacity of 610 cubic centimeters. Homo erectus, who could harness fire, not make fire, but if lightning struck somewhere and there was a fire, he could take it to another place, had a cranial capacity of 950 cubic centimeters. Now, with respect to this, what was Homo naledi's cranial capacity? Between 465 and 610 cubic centimeters. So Homo naledi showed characteristics of both the homogeneous and Australopithecines in terms of a smaller cranial capacity. However, Homo naledi's brain shape mirrored that of the modern human, even though it was smaller. So in one study by, I believe, John Hawks and Sean Hurst, and this was coming out of Indiana University, Bloomington, in April 2017, what they did was they reconstructed the brain shape of Homo naledi. And what they found was that the components of the brain were more like modern humans and than they were like Australopithecines, even though their brain sizes were more like the size of Australopithecines. So what are these components? In Australopithecines and apes, there was a groove in the brain. And in modern humans, there was no groove or is no groove. Likewise, in Homo naledi, there is no groove. The groove is called the frontoorbital sulcus and is covered by two regions of the frontal lobe of the brain that fill in or cover the groove, and another region of the brain, the insula. In other words, just like wrinkles of the brain, there is another aspect of the brain in evolution of humans that is important to thinking. And Homo sapiens sapiens, modern human brains, and Homo naledi's brains both have this feature. Now, eventually, Homo naledi likely lived alongside of modern humans, Homo sapiens sapiens. So why is this significant? Because archaeologists recently, in June 2023, uncovered evidence that Homo naledi was burying those who have passed, which is considered to be a cognitively advanced function. Not only that, but there are some markings on the grave sites in South Africa, which may indicate that they were memorializing those who had passed. Now, I want to be clear that this matter is currently being debated by archaeologists and is unsettled. What is really deep about this whole thing and heavy is that if they were paying tribute to their ancestors, this was ancestor remembrance, often called ancestor worship, which showed the spiritual foundation of ancient religion and spirituality on the African continent. However, at the Real Wakandas of Africa, we stay current with some of the latest archaeological finds because there's so much work to do archaeologically on the African continent. So we will stay up with this information and we'll keep you updated over time. As always, we conclude the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast with an original spoken word poetry or hip-hop track by myself, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. If there were ancient beings that lived along with people who could think in a way that was the foundational principle of the church steeple, that there was something that existed beyond the life, a sequel, the root to the tree to, a realm that would greet you, as an ancestor, a decree to, religious text inscribed at this burial site's left by Homo naledi might be the equivalent of finding a sea chest filled with the gold of intelligence tests that naledi reached the crest of the blessed that he left. And now the archaeologist debates in the east and the west whether naledi did this skeptical, but scientifically, this was ultimately and is testable and measurable whether congregational processionals took place 300,000 years ago in South African grasslands, mountains, and hills. But despite this anthropological question, there are those who propose a multi-origin hyper-progression of races starting with Homo erectus, but promote the idea of modern Neanderthal DNA, which says, quote, the European is as strong as Neanderthal today, quote, but does not infer, quote, the European is as intelligent as the Neanderthal in every kind of way. End quote. This is cherry-picking features that support white supremacist inlays. If humanity is equal, why do these statements you say?
Thank you for listening to the Real Wakandas of Africa podcast. When you have a chance, please pick a copy of my books up from Amazon, The Real Wakandas of Africa, Dr. John Henry Clark versus Herman Cain, The Great Wall of Africa, The Empire of Benin's 10,000-mile-long wall, The Real Vibranium of Africa, and Akhenaten's Dreams by Maurice Miles Martinez. You can also subscribe to this podcast and become a regular sustaining member by clicking the link in the podcast. You can donate from $1 to $10 per month, and this makes an enormous difference in supporting this podcast and my research. Thank you again for listening to me, MC Brother Miles, Maurice Miles Martinez. I will speak with you next week.